What's up, everyone? This is Eric Davis, managing editor of movies.com, and we're here doing another little podcast with me today to talk Star Wars. We want to talk Star Wars today. Sean O'Connell. Sean has been my guest a lot of times. He is with Fandango. He also writes for Cinema Blend and some other places. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Eric. Good to be with you, man.
Definitely. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about Star Wars. We're almost beating the Star Wars drum to death right now. But what I wanted to focus on is whether or not we'll like these movies. Is it impossible to now like the movies that the Star Wars movies that Disney is going to put out? I feel like when Episode 7 was announced, there was a lot of positive vibes. Everybody was excited. You know, Disney's taking Lucasfilm sort of away from George Lucas, and they're going to exploit more of the properties or more of the aspects of the franchise that we love, that we grew up with, beginning with a continuation of the original trilogy. People were excited about that. Then standalone movies, J.J. Abrams, a Yoda movie, a Han Solo movie, you know, all these rumors pop, pop, pop. And now I feel like the general vibe, at least, you know, in the last couple of days when this information has sort of been, you know, drilled at us, has been negative. You know, there's just a lot of jaded, cynical reactions to this. And it sort of makes me think, is it now impossible for the collective we, and I don't mean just you and I, because we're two guys that really, really optimistic, really try to go into movies and give movies a fighting chance, but the collective we, the fan base, all the hardcore fans, can we like another Star Wars movie? What do you think?
I mean, I think absolutely we can, sure. And for more people than I anticipated, I think it is going to have to be a show me what you have and I'm going to keep myself behind this wall of cynicism until I actually see what you do. But I'm with you. I don't understand how the news shifted, toward where we're heading right now, where people are starting to, as you say, you know, crap on the decisions that are being made, because I went the opposite direction. When it was first revealed that they were going to do all of these, you know, new Star Wars properties and revive the universe, I became not guarded, because I'm not like as invested in the future of it. When someone asked me if I was excited about it, I was like, you know what? I would have been totally fine if we never saw another Star Wars movie, and I'll be totally fine if we see 10 more. I just want them to be entertaining. But I think that all the decisions that they've made have made me more excited for what's going to happen. And I think that they're really working hard to put the franchise, the potential series, get it started on the right foot. To me, the hiring of Abrams was that was pie in the sky thinking, and it was always sort of like, boy, there's no way we'll get someone like Abrams, so we should, you know, settle for the next big thing. So when they got him, all of a sudden I was way more excited for Episode 7. Then they started talking about the standalone movies, and I was like, all right, well, how will those exist? Are they going to be set in a timeline beyond what we've seen with the original trilogy? And then when they revealed that they're going to be Han Solo and Boba Fett movies that would exist within the trilogy, and then that way allow you to bring in characters, existing characters like Darth Vader, and maybe come at them from a different perspective in the gaps that exist in the trilogy. God, that got me really excited. And so I went the opposite direction, and I think they're making a ton of brilliant decisions, not bad ones.
Yeah, I think a lot of people sort of crap on those decisions, you know. They say the mystery. A lot of people get held stuck up on the mystery of it. You know, why do we have to see Han win the Millennium Falcon in a card game? Why can't we just leave well enough alone? Why can't we leave those gaps that we never did see? Because maybe in some ways they make the original trilogy stronger because we don't see those things. We know they happen, but we don't see that kind of stuff. I think that's one argument that people make. And another argument people make is they don't want to see existing characters. They want to see new worlds. They want to see other stuff created. I know people were really excited about the rumor of the Jedi film inspired by the Seven Samurai,
right.
Because it was something different. It was maybe a chance to get a visionary director to go play in that kind of world and have a lot of fun. I look at it as I don't know if Disney is going to take a chance on completely original characters before sort of mining existing characters, characters that have fan bases already.
And I don't think mainstream audiences want that, to be honest with you. I think the majority of people who aren't tracking this as vehemently as our community is tracking it, if you tell them there's a new Han Solo movie coming into theaters versus, you know, a Star Wars movie centered around a character they have no idea of, they're going to go to the Han Solo movie first. And I think Disney kind of realizes that.
Yeah. I'm like you. When I first heard – and let's just say it right now that a lot of these standalone movies are rumors right now. I know that there was another story that came out after the Boba Fett and Han Solo news that said Disney hasn't made any decisions yet. They're sort of toying around with ideas. And when you hear something like that, you think, are they toying around with ideas and sort of slipping them under the table to some of these sites in order to gouge fan interest? I don't know, but these aren't cemented in stone. We're not going to see a Han Solo movie in 2016 per se yet.
Right.
But
you know, one of the things that got me really excited about it, though, if you tell me that Lawrence Kasdan is writing one of these standalone films, you know, and potentially Joe Johnston is going to get the chance to direct his Boba Fett movie, that's when I think that Disney is stepping back and saying, hey, we actually now that we own this, we have the potential to make some of these amazing dream projects come to reality. And, you know, the sky kind of is the limit. So, because, I mean, Joe Johnston has been talking about doing a Boba Fett movie for a long time. And I think that he has a pretty decent story in line. So if he's given the permission to do that, holy cow. And, of course, Kasdan wrote, you know, some of the huge stories. He wrote Empire Strikes Back. He wrote Return of the Jedi. He wrote the original Raiders. Mm-hmm. If you're dropping him into this sandbox and saying, come up with a standalone Han Solo movie, the guy who wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark is going to write a standalone Han Solo movie? Yeah, I'm signing up for that big time. I mean, there's no way I'm crapping on that idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about it. Just as you are. I dig Han Solo. He's my favorite character from the Star Wars universe because he's like us. He's just like this regular dude, right, who doesn't have any special powers. He's just got his gun and he's got his attitude, and he just has to figure out a way to coexist with all these wacky characters in this universe. He's always the character that kind of brings the audience into the movie, and I love him. I feel like that's what was missing from the prequels, was a character like him.
Right.
But I mean, I also think that we have so much time. I mean, I was saying this yesterday that it's been almost 30 years since Han Solo was on the big screen. We have so much time away from this original franchise. And in between, we've had prequels and television shows and cartoons and expanded novels and all of this madness that has come in between that has sort of separated us from the original trilogy and from those feelings I think that we had. And I think that it scares a lot of people when Disney is talking about returning to it, but I say, why not? What the hey? You know, some of these movies may not be as good as other ones, just like the Marvel movies. Some of them are better than others, and you just kind of go with it and have fun. And I mean, what do you think people have to see or hear in order for them to be like, okay, I'll buy it, I'll get behind it?
Truthfully, I wonder if it's going to take seeing the first complete movie to sort of realize what we're in store for. Like you said, so much of this is just speculation right now, and I don't think any of us really have an idea what the grand plan is. And I like to believe that Kathleen Kennedy and the folks over at Disney do have a grand plan. I like to think – I mean, we both know that Marvel, it's funny you brought them up. I mean, they changed the way that studios need to be thinking about these huge tentpoles. And I think we're seeing a lot of it, too. I know you're tracking this story with the Spider-Man franchise and the way that they're planting the seeds for what I think are going to be a lot of movies. You know, I don't think we're locked into the we have to complete this in a trilogy anymore. I think the smarter studios and the longer range planning, these people are thinking of, you know, 5-10 movies. And but with Star Wars, I think you're right. I think there's going to be a skepticism from the fan base until we see the first film. And I don't know if it's going to be Episode 7, or I don't know if it's going to be one of the standalones first. Do you know what they're hoping to get into theaters first?
I think Episode 7 will be the first one in theaters. Okay. You know, I think they're trying for summer 2015. That's my only concern with it.
Right.
You know, I was just actually talking to these guys on radio in Minneapolis, and they were asking me, are you concerned about Abrams at all? And I said, no, I think he's got the he understands the franchise. He's got the perfect sensibilities for it. The only thing that concerns me is whether or not they will rush him in some capacity, and that will affect the production in some way, you know, in order to get it into theaters by summer 2015. I think that'll be the first one we see. And then from there, whether or not they kind of have little ties, all these films, you know, I feel like if they want to build with Star Wars what they're doing with Marvel, they'll say, yeah, they're standalone movies. But these standalone movies are still going to tie into the universe and still going to include little nuggets that we've seen in the original trilogy and that we saw in the sequels. And they're all going to kind of tie together in little ways. And you mentioned Spider-Man, and you were the first one that kind of – picked up, I think, on what Mark Webb was doing, and I think a lot of people don't really understand that yet. They're seeing villain after villain after villain. Oh, they're going to put another. It's going to be just like Spider-Man 3. But no, I don't think they're doing that. I really do, like you, think they're setting up storylines that are going to continue throughout multiple films and have their own spin-off movies as well. And I think a lot of studios are going to start thinking about that as well. I think Fox is looking at X-Men now, and they're going to play around with that, bringing in guys from other movies. And I think we're going to start seeing that with these other studios that own these properties. They're going to look at ways to now expand beyond, and kind of how do we implement that Marvel model in our own unique ways. It's almost like looking at the iPhone when the iPhone came out, and everybody was like, oh my God, it changes everything. And now Samsung's got the Galaxy. And then, you know, there's just little touches. They're all sort of similar, but they have different touches about them. And other studios will find ways to evolve that Marvel didn't think of. And it'll be interesting to see.
Well, you ask when do I think people will get excited and accept it? I honestly do think it's when they see the first film. And if it's Episode 7, imagine this. Imagine Episode 7 drops and it doesn't – I'm not saying it has to mirror it, but what if it just feels like – what if Abrams is able to replicate what it felt like to come out of his Star Trek reboot, where all of a sudden you were like, holy crap, he got it right. And not only did he – like, now we've restarted and we're on another track where the potential – for all of these great stories exists because they figured out how to reset the timeline. If Abrams if he figures out how to make Episode 7 land with the promise of, we understand what we're doing and these are all the things that we can do with it, fans will come out of Episode 7 if it's like that and want to see the next film immediately. And if Disney's smart and they have another standalone film ready to drop shortly after that, I mean, they did say they would like to get, you know, as many as two Star Wars films in theaters, you know, per year. Then they could be striking while the iron is hot. And I trust that Abrams would be the guy to get them on that right path.
Yeah, I think that what they want to try to do is take what they've done with Marvel and implement it to Star Wars. I think the key there, I mean, their Iron Man really is Episode 7. And that will dictate whether or not fans will buy into this whole two films per year, just like we have two Marvel movies per year. We've bought into that.
Right.
Can we buy into two Star Wars movies a year? And yeah, it'll rely on Episode 7. And here's my last question to you. Does Super 8 hurt Episode 7 in a way? I feel like coming off of Star Trek, you know, okay, I can buy Abrams. He can reboot something that has the sensibilities of what we're used to, but also bring something new to the table. Super 8, I feel like, came along and everybody was like, he's just kind of, you know, stealing all of Spielberg's mojo and he's just trying to carbon copy Spielberg. And are people now kind of entering Episode 7 with this jaded kind of looking for ways that Abrams is just going to steal from the original trilogy instead of making it his own?
Maybe. Sure. I mean, if you want to make that argument, you'll be able to make that argument. I mean, there's a certain faction you're just never going to convince until they see it. But I go back to what he did with the Mission Impossible franchise. And I thought Mission Impossible 3 was streamlined and fun and very entertaining after what was a bloated sequel that John Woo did in Mission Impossible 2. And truthfully, I think Abrams sort of put that franchise back on track for Brad Bird to then take it to the next level in Ghost Protocol. I think Alias was an extremely entertaining show. I mean, obviously, Abrams had some fingerprints on Lost, and so his gift as a storyteller is unquestioned. I mean, yeah, did I think Super 8 missed a few opportunities? Yeah, it did. But I don't think that it was a bad movie by any stretch, and I would never count it against what he could do in the Star Wars universe. So, I mean, I didn't think that Abrams was a possible hire for the job. And so when they got him, my anticipation for Episode 7 went through the roof.
Yeah, I really like it, too. I'm a little, you know, coming off of Star Trek, I hope that he's able to kind of separate himself from the franchises and really sort of get into the mentality of a Star Wars movie and not make it just feel exactly like the Star Trek movies.
Right.
He's a smart guy. You say he's a very smart storyteller. I feel like a lot of people just judge Abrams based on what other people write about him. He did a really great TED Talk. If you watch those TED Talks and you can kind of Google it on YouTube and watch him. He's a really smart guy. He knows stories inside and out. He grew up with these movies just like we did, and he's smart, and I feel like he's good for the job. And
I think his blockbusters are character driven too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he's the right guy for it. He can do effects work, definitely, but I think his focus is always on the characters. And even with Super 8, I think his focus was on the kids, and I think with Trek it's on the Enterprise crew, and I just think that he understands that that comes first and the rest of the stuff doesn't matter if you don't get the characters right.
Exactly. I feel whereas the prequels were a little hollow and heavy on political. I feel like Abrams is going to get back to us investing in characters, investing in their journey. He's going to tug at some heartstrings. That's what he likes to do. He's going to make it fun. And I feel like Star Trek Into Darkness will be an interesting movie to see how he elevates that franchise now that he reintroduced those characters. And if he knocks that one out of the park, I don't see how you're not just dying and itching to see what he does with episode 7.
Right. And on the flip side, if that movie ends up being a convoluted mess, imagine how the conversation shifts then drastically to how much we're going to dread episode 7.
It's going to be a long couple of years if that movie misses the mark, Sean. Sean O'Connell, we'll stop here. Whenever something big happens, we'll come on and we'll hash it out for 20 minutes or so and see what we think about it. But thank you very much for stopping by. Sean O'Connell writes for Fandango and Cinema Blend. Sean, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Take care.